With more and more people fully vaccinated, hopefully people can start planning for what happens once the pandemic is under control. COVID has exposed that being well requires many needs being met. Joining us now is Dr. Sarita Mohanty, the president and CEO of the SCAN Foundation, which is an independent public charity devoted to transforming care for older adults. Welcome, Dr. Mohanty.
Thank you.
We know the number of older adults is rapidly increasing in America, and you're saying that a roadmap for system-wide changes in health services is needed. What would that roadmap look like?
Yes, this master plan for aging is truly a roadmap for system-wide changes and how we can make sure services are coordinated, delivered, and financed effectively to meet the needs of our older adults. And this is so critically important because in your state, Oregon, 18% of the population is 65 plus and growing. And so we all want a less fragmented, less confusing, and more connected network. And so the master plan wants to cater to the person-centered care, the individualized needs of older adults.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the trends you're seeing in the Pacific Northwest? You just mentioned a bit about Oregon, and we'd like to know about Washington as well. Are we coping with these trends and planning for them effectively?
I think there are some real opportunities in Oregon and in Washington. You know, in Washington state, the number of older adults, 65 and older, is 16% of the total population. I think that was 29 statistics. And I think even if you look at Jefferson County, that percentage is actually more than double. It's like 38% and growing. So, you know, there are some real opportunities to really look at how to incorporate more person-centered home and community-based services and support for individuals, especially in the rural areas. If you think about rural needs, telehealth, telemedicine, and making sure there's no inequities in how people access technology is really important.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about 16 to 18% or even 30%. Are we expecting those numbers to grow, and how fast and soon could we see those numbers grow as a percentage of the population?
Yeah, as baby boomers age, there are more older adults than ever. I think the AARP estimates that by 2034, the U.S. will, for the first time ever, be a country that is comprised of more older adults than even children. And the U.S. Census Bureau is projecting that there will be 77 million people age 65 and over, and many of those will struggle with chronic disease.
Mm-hmm. What has this past year of COVID and the pandemic exposed about people getting care? And doing so at home instead of leaving their communities.
Absolutely. We've seen that the pandemic has had a major and I would say protracted impact on our communities. We've seen a social pandemic, in fact, of anxiety, economic insecurity, food insecurity, housing instability, social isolation. And it's a striking reminder that older adults are valued members of society who deserve to age with dignity and independence. And so we recognize that there is a stronger need for both community and government support, like helping older adults with house cleaning, shopping, getting groceries, cooking, retrofitting homes so that we can prevent falls, how we can actually support telehealth capabilities more effectively and make sure there's a proper technology, and then home-based care medical models and actually non-medical models to support older adults in their home.
Mm-hmm. You also are pointing to racial and ethnic disparities exposed by the pandemic. You're calling it a stark digital divide. What is that, and what needs to be done to fix that?
Yeah, it's a heightened awareness that not everyone, when we try to say, okay, well, we're going to have you connect to medical care or other social services using technology, recognizing that not everybody has access to that technology. And what can we do to mitigate that digital divide? So asking them those important questions and really actually making sure they have the support to enable that technology, have that enabling technology in their home, and also work with policymakers to reinforce the importance that everyone should have proper technology and supports in their home and the community.
When you talk about a master plan for aging, what are the components of that to make it a success?
The master plan is really important because it really seeks to coordinate, deliver, and finance services effectively and seamlessly to meet the needs of older adults. The really important piece of this is making sure that there's outlined clear goals and strategies to execute on. So it's not just a plan. And one example is in California, where a master plan for aging has been introduced that has 5 bold goals and 23 strategies, and making sure that there is a data dashboard that looks at the progress of the master plan as it goes forward, whether it's how it's being budgeted, how it's going, working through legislation, and also how it's being introduced into the community. So it's really about following a plan through its execution steps.
Mm-hmm. Now, in that case and others, do you see the solutions as coming from government or independent charities or the business community or a combination?
It's certainly a combination. It's so important that this is multifaceted, multi-stakeholder. You mentioned government, you know, you think about it at state level, but also local communities, payers, providers, community organizations, philanthropic. It is because there right now care has been, and we've unmasked this, has been so fragmented, we have to bring everybody together and make sure, and advocacy organizations as well, to ensure the success of the master plan for aging.
Mm-hmm. As a doctor, what advice would you give to people about successful aging, especially aging in your own home in successfully?
Yeah, I think it's really important as a physician, and I've seen this, you know, in my own practice, that people have had a lot of time to think about what matters to them, especially during the pandemic. And it's really ensuring that they communicate that information to their provider, that they need to engage their family members in the care, that support network is important, that they're having trouble accessing technology and they need some support, or maybe they need financial assistance or financial counseling, who to turn to. So my advice would be to really work with your systems that you're connected with and communicate that to them. And similarly, we in the healthcare sector have an obligation to also ask these questions and make sure we connect older adults to the proper services. So it is, and we got to find ways to streamline that communication.
And what advice would you give to the younger generations about helping their aging loved ones have a better plan for aging?
I think it is really critical that they work, and same thing, asking about the wants, the needs, the preferences of the person they're helping in their home. Older adults want to live with dignity and respect and independence. And so making sure that they find ways to help them be motivated and be able to do the things that they want to do, or identifying new opportunities that can make them happy, new types of skills, new types of, you know, we saw grandmas on Zoom, and that's not a new thing anymore. So how do we help our older adults, our loved ones, get access to those type of supports and services?
Okay. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to mention?
The main thing for us is that I would reinforce that the policymakers really saw an opportunity to think about changing some rules to make it easier for clinicians to treat people, older adults, remotely, and gets back to ensuring that individuals can have the services they need in their homes, in their community. I would reinforce that we should look at those COVID-era policies and really try to support and promote those type of policies moving forward. So that would be one of my closing thoughts, is that we really do want to ensure that we sustain some of the policies that were introduced.
All right. Thank you so much, Sarita, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.